Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, everybody, it's Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, your host team of the Landlord Diaries. We come to you as midterm rental investors and Furnished Finder employees on the marketing side. We've both got somewhere between 7 to 10 properties each, and we appreciate you tuning in and listening to our show. We always like to give you fresh midterm rental and Furnished Finder tips and also advice from our sister company, KeyCheck. So, Katie, today we talk with Jessica and Jenny, accountability partners and real estate investors in the midterm rental space. What did you get from their story?
Yeah, they do a great job supporting each other throughout their investment journey. And they've got some great tips for how to use the Furnished Finder platform the best, and also how to manage that. If you're going to do short-term rental and you're going to do midterm rental, like, how do you manage that calendar and how do you kind of maximize the potential there? So they've got lots of different tips and tricks, and it's just really cool to see two women supporting each other and helping each other to reach their goals. So we hope you enjoy.
Today, we embrace the value of real estate accountability partners. Jessica Williams is an accountant for Bigger Pockets, realtor and investor with 3 midterm rentals and 2 short-term rentals. Jenny Lyde is an RN and real estate investor with 5 midterm rentals, 7 single-family homes, and a 16-unit apartment complex. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. How are both of you?
We're great. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Well, let's take about 1 minute each. If it goes over, that's okay too. But just to dive a little deeper into each of your portfolios, do you own all your properties? What strategies do you embrace? And give us the scoop on your midterm rentals. So Jessica, why don't you go first?
We own 5 properties. We started in 2021 with our very first property in downtown Indianapolis, and we shortly grew to about 1 property a year. Of the 5, 3 are midterms and 2 are out-of-state short-term rentals. We do on occasion hybrid our midterms between short-term and midterm, depending on what's going on in the year. But none of them are arbitrage. We own all of them, and one of which is our primary residence.
Excellent. Well, that sounds great. And we'll get more into the backstories of your real estate investing and how you got there in a little bit. So Jenny, give us a scoop on your portfolio.
I'm Jenny, and my husband and I currently own 5 midterm rentals. We have 7 single family, which a couple of those are the midterm. And then we also have an apartment complex. So, and we've made a couple of those midterm as well. So I feel like of the 5 midterms, we have done short-term rental on those whenever there is a gap. But being a nurse myself, we primarily focus on midterm, and we found an area where there is a shortage. So I feel like we're constantly booked with nurses or other traveling professionals. In our properties, we have all purchased. They all have different ways that we purchase them, but we own all of them, and they are all renting pretty much at 90 to 100% occupancy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And do you guys both have RVs that you rent out too? Because how fun.
Yes, we do. So when we first met, I don't think that we both owned RVs, but in our friendship, we discovered I purchased a Class C and Jessica has purchased a pull behind, and we both couldn't help it but to decorate our RVs and then start stocking them the way that you would want for your own personal use. But then honestly, it ends up being an Airbnb too. So on my listing where I have it, we do list on separate websites. There's lots of different RV sites that you can list. But I literally put on there Airbnb on wheels just so people know kind of what to expect, just because a lot are rented, I feel like, completely empty.
Yes,
without the amenities of plates, cups, salt, pepper.
No one wants to have to bring all that stuff in with them. Like, they just want to get in and go.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to highlight real fast. If you love the tiny house or RV world, there's tons of travel nurses and medical professionals out there that also love that world. And so episode 10 with Cheryl, it talks about how traveling medical professionals love tiny living. So check it out.
That would be awesome. We feel like Indiana, we do have really cold winters. So that does kind of...
more of a three season here.
Yeah.
I love how you guys have talked about mixing the short term and the midterm. I think that's really smart. And there's no reason you can't list on multiple platforms, especially when you've got Furnish Finder. That's a flat low fee to list per year. Like, it makes it easy that you can, you know, diversify yourself and put yourself everywhere. So if you want to go short term for a gap, you can, and then come back to midterm or however it works best.
I will say the logistics of that were difficult for me at first. So that's where Jessica, being my accountability partner and friend, has really helped me with setting up processes and making sure things run seamlessly. I always go to her with my questions.
Awesome. Let's dive into that a bit deeper. So how did you ladies meet and become accountability partners?
Obviously, since I work for Bigger Pockets, we're big on the meetups. I was already an agent, and I was already doing some real estate meetups. And I did one on the west side of Indianapolis, and Jean and Jenny walked in. And actually, I think we started talking about campers that day as well. Mm-hmm. But it was just an instant connection. Getting out there and networking and actually making relationships is gone so far. I mean, look where we are now. So it's just something I'd like to highlight for folks, that you never know what kind of relationships you're going to build from going to networking events. So, but that is
so true.
Yeah. We were going to, one thing I thought was really neat when she said she worked for Bigger Pockets, there was a conference coming up in a couple weeks after, and my husband had been before, but I had not. And I was super nervous, super duper nervous. So just knowing one person that would also be there and that I would have a friend made it a little easier to step out of my comfort zone and go. And so now we've gone to a couple. So
I love that. So how do you guys work together to keep each other accountable? And what is that partnership? You're not really a partnership, right? You're more of just, you know, your accountability, your maybe like kind of co-mentors to each other. How does that work? What do you guys do as far as how often do you check in with each other? And what are kind of your, how do you run that?
It's nothing that we have set days or times. If something comes up, just like in anything in the real estate industry, like everything's on constantly moving, right? So I think it's just a simple text here, or what starts to be maybe a 5-minute phone call turns into maybe an hour phone call. But it's just one of those things. I feel like when we need someone to talk to, we know that the other person's going to pick up, and we have that person we can rely on.
Yeah. Like, we've had water damage or water shutoffs at properties. I've had some properties where tenants are getting locked out. And so she gave me some great ideas on backup plans for what to do when power's out or when our electronic key access is not working. I wouldn't have even thought of the backup option of having the key, like a hard key for your property in a lockbox.
The old school lockboxes.
Oh, that's a great tip. I do love a good old school lockbox. So did you guys kind of venture into the midterm space at like simultaneously, or did one of you guys have more experience before the other? Tell us about that, because I know there's so many investors and landlords out there who have done long-term, who have done short-term, and maybe haven't kind of explored that middle ground of the midterm.
I would say you've been in it longer than I have.
I would have said the opposite.
But I would say I added on to it after meeting Jenny, for sure, because I was really looking to do my first BRRRR. But I was really struggling with finding a contractor that I would be able to trust. And so once we began our relationship and trust, and I had seen their properties that her husband had worked on, I felt that I could trust them to do our project. And so then we had our first BRRRR in Terre Haute, Indiana, and that has been an amazing deal. And also knowing them, he's from there, her husband is. And so whenever we have issues with the property, I'm like, hey, do you have a guy for this? Do you have a guy for that? It's usually him. But if it's not, I know he knows folks in the area. So it's actually great to have that resource.
If any of our listeners aren't familiar, BRRRR is an investment method where you buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. I always get the order mixed up, but it's essentially, you know, forcing some equity into a property so you can get in and out of a property and you don't have much cash left in the deal.
I do feel like, you had a midterm though.
Yeah. So we had
a short term. So I think she had a short term rental because she knows Airbnb really well.
So I had already been renting out our primary residence, but I had just started to toy with hybriding our short-term rental in downtown Indianapolis with the midterm strategy right about the time we had met.
Yeah.
So.
And so I was strictly on Furnish Finder, and I honestly get most of my bookings through Furnish Finder, but then she did recommend adding my properties to Airbnb, and she helped with that because I was completely lost.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
Okay, so now let's get into the meat, the nitty-gritty of midterm rentals and Furnish Finder tips. So Jenny, you have seen a huge need in your area for midterm rentals that many of your places are getting rented before you ever have them furnished. So why did you invest in, correct me if I say it wrong, Terre Haute, Indiana, Terre Haute, Indiana, not a local. And, you know, to have them rented before they're even furnished, tell us about the process there as well.
We did our very first one, our first property that we purchased in Terre Haute, which my husband is from Terre Haute. So that's how it was easy for us. We purchased a home on a sheriff's auction, so we got it for a great price. I will say we purchased it sight unseen, which I would not recommend, but we knew the area and we knew that the price was a steal. And so we purchased this property. It does have the nickname, the dumpster house, because it was really bad.
Did it take four dumpsters?
It took, yeah, a lot. So that's why
that's a lot. That's a lot of dumpsters.
It was a lot. I cried and really considered our choices, life choices at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What are we doing? But we fixed it up. So that one, we staged it and got it rented. And then once we got that one, and I had put in my bio that I'm also a nurse, I'm from the area, reach out to me if you have any questions or any needs. So I have had people reach out to me because there is a lack of housing there for them at a good price. I'll be working on a project and someone will reach out and I'll say, well, I'm actually working on one and I was hoping to have it done in like 3 weeks. I could send you photos of what it looks like now, but it's completely unfurnished. And they're like, we'll take it. And I did have my most recent one just with life and work and kids. And maybe it's my process has gotten faster because I have a list. I go to Big Lots. I go to Dollar General, Dollar Tree. I know exactly what to get on the list. I kind of purposely pushed it back a little bit. And I had it, all the items purchased and had it staged within 7 days.
That's amazing. Great work. And you're highlighting something really important here. The nice thing about Furnish Finder is you can have those conversations ahead of a booking with interested parties so that both parties know exactly what's going on and they're able to, you know, make those connections just like you're talking about. Hey, I don't have, you know, this one available, but I've got a property coming up available that you may be interested in that you could never do on a booking platform, because then you can't have those conversations until the booking occurs, or you're trying to have those conversations in a message on the platform. And I just don't see how you'd be able to have those completely in a message, right? So that's really nice about Furnish Finder.
I know. I have done that probably 3 times now, where I have booked a property before I officially added it to Furnish Finder, because I don't typically add it until I take my staging photos. But I think once you have your first property or two and they are staged, decorated, you have your kitchens and bathrooms, everything stocked and your expectations, I think it's a little easier for them to say, like, take a chance on you, essentially.
All right. Thanks for sharing your story, Jenny. We'll continue in a little bit. Jessica, back to you. Tell us about your journey from self-managing short-term rentals to discovering Furnish Finder and the midterm rental strategy.
Okay. Well, we had a foreign exchange student living with us for a year. And when she left, the house just seemed a little bit empty. And we'd already had a short-term rental. And the first thing I wanted to do was see if how this whole Furnish Finder thing worked. And how we lived less than half a mile from a really close IU hospital, IU West hospital. And I was like, well, we're just going to give it a whirl and we're going to see. And when I started like poking around the website just to see what folks were charging, whether it was a private room or a full house, I was like, I could make more on renting out one bedroom in my house than my mortgage is. So I said, you know what? It's worth the risk. And we tried it, and we've been really lucky with all of our nurses. And so we've been doing it for about a year and a half now and in our primary residence. And the nurses tend to go home on the weekends, or they're only here maybe 3 nights a week. So it's not even that much of a inconvenience as some people might think it is. And then once I kind of understood the Furnish Finder platform more and what people's expectations were, that's when I decided to start hybriding our downtown property between short-term and midterm, especially since we had some traveling coming up. And I also clean all of our properties myself. So, well, with my husband. But I was like, we need to figure out something to where we can be gone for a few weeks at a time and not have to worry about constant turns. So that's when I started to kind of hybrid the two.
And ladies, what percent of both your midterm rental bookings come from Furnish Finder?
99.9%.
Yeah, I would say 95, because I do currently have one sweet gal on Airbnb, but she's technically my first one. I will have people that reach out to me, but really, I feel like when I use the Airbnb space, it's more for my gaps.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to pay that monthly, like 30 days plus Airbnb fees versus what they could get it for on Furnish Finder.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
It adds up very, very quickly when you're looking at a longer stay as well. But that's a great use if you have a week gap or a 2 week gap or something like that, and you're able to short-term rent it. Like, that's a great use of that time. So it's almost like you kind of have to pick what's going to be your primary short-term or midterm and then fill the calendar around that. It's really hard if you try to equally accept both at the same time without, like, flipping that seasonal switch or something. That's when it's kind of like, okay, this is really hard. But if you have some strategy going into it, it can really help to kind of maximize your potential there. So Okay. Well, let's see. I would love to hear if there's anything special you guys do at the end of your visitor's stay that helps you kind of improve your systems or your property itself. Do you ever get feedback from your tenants? How do you guys work that?
I guess I've never specifically asked for feedback. They seem to continue to extend, at least in our primary residence. So I take that as a good sign. And then they always give us gifts when they leave, which is really nice.
Wow, that's really nice.
I should probably start getting something for them.
That's really sweet.
But I haven't actually started asking for feedback from anybody in particular. So
one of our first episodes, number four, Jill, she makes a special piece of jewelry for her guests because she's also a jeweler and an artist. I thought that was just a nice little touch.
I do ask if there's anything they could think of, and then I add it to my list just so that, yeah, because I would like to know, like, what would you like? Which one thing I wouldn't have thought of is they want a full-length mirror. Okay. I would have thought of that.
Definitely. I try to put one in. If it's an entire home, then I try to put just one somewhere throughout the home. And then if it's a room rental, I would try to put one in each room rental as well, or in the hallway. I think in my room rental, we actually put it in the hallway so you had access to it either way. Because, yes, us ladies have to make sure we're looking sharp for work, right? And the men, too.
And then I've had someone that wanted bakeware, and I was like, okay, I have, like, all kinds of things for you to cook, but wasn't thinking about someone wanting to bake a cake. It's a little random, but okay.
Yep. That's 9 by 13 pans. Those are important.
Yep. Got it.
Those are good things to know, but that's great that you get the chance to get feedback because I think these furnishings are always going to change and evolve too, probably regionally as well, like to some degree. I think certain parts of the country really need like box fans and stuff, and other areas probably not quite as much. So it's good to get to know your tenant and your tenant base because they're going to be different than other people's, right? And that does show a really good sense of hospitality.
Yeah, for sure.
And then another thing I just thought of is we have a Ring camera, which I do tend to turn off once the tenant checks in.
Okay.
But a lot of them do order delivery food. So they, you know, pizza guy comes, they're going to ring the doorbell. So my husband said, oh, they have the little piece that you can put in the house so that the tenant will hear it. So anytime the doorbell gets rang, we'll kind of just glance at it. And if we can tell it's a food delivery, we ignore it because we know that the sound has also gone off inside.
Okay, that's nice. I think if we've spoken with a guest in the past that said you can even give your current guests access to the Ring and build that extra level of safety. Like, hey, you know, this is a safe neighborhood. It's quiet. We have a Ring camera, which, you know, we want to make sure you get in safely. But also, if you'd like access to it during your stay, then you're welcome to have access as well. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. That
is, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about KeyCheck. Jessica, you use KeyCheck as part of your midterm rental journey. What features do you enjoy most of the KeyCheck product?
Yes, we use both the background as well as the credit card payment options through KeyCheck. So that has been really easy for folks to get set up on, go ahead and take it. We get the information back relatively quickly. And it's just, I think, another peace of mind for some folks that they can pay by credit card, because I think a lot of folks are fearful of being scammed on both the landlord and tenant side. But I feel like if they pay with credit card, they have a little bit more confidence in knowing if I show up and this is a scam, then I can at least maybe charge back my card or something. And ideally they won't be scamming me later on and charging back afterwards, because I will have had a signed lease. We will have had email communications indicating that, no, they were here. There was never a problem. So I feel confident on both sides of that.
And Jenny, what experience do you have with KeyCheck?
So my husband and I have our own software that we use for our long-term rentals. So starting out, we just started using those for our midterms and short-terms. However, I feel like there is that concern on they don't know us. Could we be scamming them? So we decided to switch to KeyCheck just for simplicity, and it is the recommended site. I feel like people know Furnish Finder and they know KeyCheck with that. And so I just find going from a discussion with a client on Furnish Finder and then going straight to KeyCheck has been simpler, easier for us, and then easier for the customer to understand the process and what to expect. And it's worked out pretty well for us.
All right. So Jessica, Kelly has told me that you're super passionate about finding a great deal. And I would love to hear how you have used Price Labs or the Furnish Finder stats page or any other tools out there to help you find like the best deal that you're ready to go for.
As in purchasing a property? Or
right.
Okay. So then I probably have to say the Terre Haute property, because I didn't know anything about Terre Haute, honestly, before Jenny. So having someone who knew the area was key, but then also knowing once you started to look around Furnish Finder and the different platforms such as Airbnb, there wasn't a lot of inventory out there for folks. So once I figured that out with her sharing that information, I was like, oh, okay, well, let's look here. And then that was just the first step. The second step was then learning the areas, because you can get something really, really cheap in Terre Haute, but you don't want to walk down that street. So it was finding the right location there and at the right price, and because this is where we ended up doing our BRRRR. And so that was honestly the best deal I probably had, between purchase price, rehab, getting almost 100% of our money back out of that deal, and then renting it for $1,800 a month. So it's been, right, that so one's been a great deal.
That property is midterm rental only, or is it one of your hybrid properties?
So we do hybrid it. We only did that. I mean, we've only had to do that in the beginning just because we had just initially listed it and Airbnb just got the first bite. But since then it's been pretty steady on Furnish Finder. And while we typically are assuming we're going to get a lot of nurses or medical travelers, we haven't had a single nurse there yet. It's been people that have been in town for school related things, that they're in town internships. And then as well as there's a big casino being built there. So we've had some people working on the elevators there for the last 6 months. So hopefully we'll get a nurse soon.
Yeah, for sure. And Jessica, you've got a pretty cool story of how it is worth going after unmatched tenant leads. So just a reminder, Furnish Finder tenant leads is someone could put in what's called a housing request, and it either shows up to you as a landlord as a general housing request, which is a warm lead saying, hey, everything lines up, you should contact this person as soon as possible. An unmatched tenant lead or an unmatched housing request is one that maybe something's a little off, like a calendar date, or the pricing's a bit off, or your pet policy. And you have a great example of how the calendar being a bit off ended up being such a fabulous midterm rental stay for you. Can you give us that example?
Yes. So our downtown Indianapolis property, if you don't know, Indianapolis is known for a lot of conventions. And every year we host Gen Con in August. So I had already blocked the date. Somebody had purchased it or somebody had booked it through Airbnb. And so our dates did not align with this specific tenant lead, and reached out and was like, hey, if you can't find anything, please let me know. If you'd be willing to move out during these dates, we can accommodate you before and afterwards. And then, of course, she would end up getting a free cleaning in between there once the Airbnb guest checks out and before she checks back in. And I didn't think anything of it. And she reached out to me and she said, well, thank you for letting me know. And that was about it. But a week later, she came back to me and was like, she must not have been able to find anything else either in her price point or around her dates. So she came back and reached out and she said, you know what, I will move out for those 4 nights and then I'll move back in. And just because I asked, it never hurts to ask. You just don't know what someone's situation is. So that ended up being a great 13-week contract for her plus our Gen Con stay.
That's awesome. Yeah. A lot of these travelers, you know, they're looking for the right home, the right host, the right landlord. So they might be willing to do some flexible things or even stay in a hotel for a few nights before or move out a little early. So I always tell people, like, reach out to those, because you never know where there might be flexibility, right?
Exactly. Never hurts to ask.
That's an excellent transition. You were reading my mind because, Jessica, you bought a home that is on an active railroad, and some people get a little nervous about that, that it may not have great resale value. You might get complaints for your from your tenants, and you have had a great experience. So can you give us advice for others that might be looking at, you know, a property that happens to be close to an active railroad?
Yes. And I will say when we purchased it, I was a little bit concerned with that myself. Like, oh, we must be getting such a good deal on this because it's close to the train. And I was like, well, we'll deal with it. We're just going to see. Because location is great. It's so close to downtown. It has a beautiful view of the city skyline. And if people are going to be there, say, on a short-term stay, they're typically not at the property, but to shower and sleep, get ready, in which case the train's not running. And if they're a nurse, they're usually gone at work all day, unless they work nights. So I'm always very clear in my instructions to folks, setting proper expectations that there is an active train nearby. So if you're working night shift, it might not be the right fit for you, but none of our nurses and none of our short-term rental guests have had any complaints about the train. So it's one of those things in any regard, if you have a negative aspect to your property, as long as you set proper expectations, you're usually pretty good in the end.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people get upset about things when they don't know about it, right? But if you move into a property and you know there's a train nearby or you're on a busy street or something, that's completely different. It's just about having those expectations set correctly. So I love that, making that clear in your listing and making sure that somehow you can spin it and have a positive take on it as well, I think is great. So, all right. Well, you guys are both hardworking full-time employees. Kelly and I know that world very well, as we're also investors and landlords with full-time jobs. So I thought it would be really fun to close out our conversation here with just a little roundtable discussion where we could each toss in one or two tips that work really well to managing life when you are both a hardworking W-2 employee and a landlord / investor.
Instant messaging is so key. To have all that set up beforehand, it's a lot of work when you first obtain a property and you're getting it ready to list. But once you put all that hard work into it, it's so much easier after the fact. And you'll thank yourself later on for doing that as well. So I think that's one of the biggest tips for me. And dynamic pricing, because that also helps us determine if we're going to short-term or mid-term something in our downtown property. Is it worth it, the cash flow that's going to come in? Or do we just want to go ahead and mid-term it and have less hassle with it? So those are the two biggest things I would say.
I feel like my answer is going to be funny, but I take a lot of rest days. So at least once a week, I call it a rest day and I try my hardest. Now, obviously, if someone reaches out on Furnish Finder, I don't want to leave them hanging for 24 hours. But if it's anything else, I don't work for the whole day and I'll watch movies and maybe take a nap. But just making sure to, because yeah, it is hard when you own rentals and you get emails and messages and requests to not feel like you're working 7 days a week. I would also say I heard at our last conference that you needed to, hire help, which I know that's hard to do, but I did recently hire a family member to be my cleaner in between flips. That has been life-changing.
I think, Jenny, you also have this really cool tip where you can forward all your calls during your workday to your husband if any leads come in during that time period.
Yeah, so we ended up getting a Google Voice number and downloaded the app. And so, of course, I downloaded the app for probably a year and just fully managed it. And I was at a conference and I kept stepping out because the phone kept ringing and I had two apartments I really needed to get rented. So to me, I felt like it was worth stepping out and taking those phone calls. I really wish I could get someone else to answer these phones. And someone suggested that. I think you can add. And so she had a Google Voice too. So it was cute that she got her phone out. I didn't know. I discovered that you can add multiple phone numbers on there. And so, yeah, on days when I'm working as a nurse, I'm completely off work for the business. And I can go in there and program which phone number will get the phone call. And what I like about it, too, is text messages that come in I feel like a lot of people are texts nowadays. So the majority of our tenants, if they have a question or a maintenance request, they are texting us and not calling. And I appreciate that. But then we can both see it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So for mine, I actually found I love working. There's that whole push for the 4-hour work week. That's not something I desire. I took a year off between CoStar and Furnish Finder and I found that that's not the version of myself that I love best. I love being able to report up to someone. I love having Katie as my boss, and she's excellent on the marketing side. And so what we have found through midterm rentals is it's very easy to manage your midterm rental properties while you have a full-time job, especially if you have a partner. So when you think about it, a property typically has 4 guests in a year. So it doesn't take much to communicate and say, hey, my property's available. Are you interested? Or to shoot over a quick little, 2-minute response if someone says, hey, I'd like to book your property. And then from there, you have a partner that either is part of the process with you. Mine is my husband, Dave. And so once I do all the marketing and once the lead comes in and I have someone that's ready to move forward, well, then he does the key check process and he does the tenant screening and the lease and things like that. The rent payments, he gets everything set up. So the qualifying part of being able to, when you have a job, you can qualify for future real estate purchases as well. That's super important. So I think it's great to have a W-2 while you're an investor. And some people decide, hey, now I can be a full-time investor, or others like myself decide, let's just continue building generational wealth and have a strong, steady job in the meantime. Katie?
All right. I've got 2. So the first one would be to invest in really, really, really good photos. I feel like the leads that I get are, they're ready to book, right? They've seen the property. I feel like the photos are good enough where they feel like they can visualize themselves in the property. They have very few questions. And to me, that's all goes back to taking the time and investing in some good photos, which is honestly not that expensive. And making the listing like really, really thorough, like taking the time to put all the details there, I just end up answering a lot less questions, which makes that whole process very easy. My second one is Walmart Plus, which I've talked about before on here, but it's worth another mention because it is a absolute game changer. My midterm rentals are all at least 2 states away from me. So it's really nice, like when I have a tenant who's, the shower curtain is getting gross, I'm like, cool, I'll have one delivered to you. And it's similar to Amazon Prime in that it's free delivery. I think there's a minimum of like $30. But what's really nice is that they actually, someone will physically come and drop the items off at the person's door. So they don't have to worry about like, oh, how do I get the package out of the mailbox or, things like that. Or if it's actually going to ship, someone will go like shop your order and put it at their door. And it just kind of leaves that note of hospitality, like, oh, you couldn't find a pizza cutter? Like, let me have one delivered to your door in 3 hours, sir. And fun fact, if what they need is less than $35, I'll like add extra towels or something to get to that. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, and you got us extra towels. That's so great. And I'm like, well, yes, I did. I needed to hit the minimum, so I didn't get the fee. But it's kind of a win-win. So that's my little ultimate hack. I can't say how many times I have used that.
Well, ladies, this has been such a great conversation with both of you. We appreciate you being here on the Landlord Diaries. And if you would like to connect with Jessica or Jenny, then check out the show notes. The link to their Furnish Finder properties will be in there. And we all know that you can email on Furnish Finder and you can text or call as long as the landlord provides their phone number. And we highly recommend that. You're missing potentially 50% of your leads if you don't choose to have your phone number present. So thank you all for being with us today. And we'll catch you again next week for a new episode of the Landlord Diaries. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.